This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, that went kind of fast. Hour number one in the books. Two more of the big show still to go as we continue to roll on. Nick, Barry, and Joel with you till 4 o'clock as we continue to talk about a lot of things. We talked about fancy words that make you at least seem smarter.
We're still getting some, by the way.
Okay.
I don't know if I can say this, though, so I'm going to abstain from it, but it's a different way to say a-hole.
Arsh?
Arse.
Arse.
Arse. Yeah. And then you have the rest of the word.
I think you can.
Okay. Well, I won't, just in case.
Why stop now?
Somebody said petrol instead of gas. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That'll make you sound straight up British.
Yep.
Let's stop for some petrol. Where was it? Then somebody had a question for you, Joel. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Missed the show yesterday. Did Joel take the day off to mourn the death of the Packers?
Nope. I actually donated to the charity of their choice and moved on.
Oh, did you? Good for you.
Yeah.
Somebody said, hey, Joel, why do all the Astros batters take first pitch strikes every time? It pisses me off.
A lot of people are on that, but you can't say that because Altuve, even in the Red Sox series, jumped on the first pitch almost every time and was ripping it all over the place. But you and I have gotten into this. I mean, it obviously changes from pitch at-bat to at-bat, but lately, boy, Springer sits and watches a lot of good pitches. I've had this issue with Correa in the past where he gets down in the hole two strikes because he watches two really good pitches go by. But it hasn't struck a nerve with me yet in this series.
Okay.
Just their overall hitting is
they didn't ask me, so I won't comment.
Well, I'm
they
ask
just
you,
asked you.
I'm going to ask
they
you.
Don't
your,
want care.
Ask
they don't
you
care what I think.
Your in-depth and knowledgeable opinion of this,
wow.
this topic.
You know, I don't feel that way. I think that they'll go out and take a pitch, but I think that this is a team that will jump and swing first pitch if they see something they like. Maybe they're sitting on something, whether it's fastball or whatever. But I think if you go back and look statistically, this is a team that gets deeper into the count than most other teams do overall. I mean, Gurriel is just – he's one of the best
he's
in baseball.
Fantastic. Marwin normally works the count.
Marwin can work the count. Altuve can work the count. Springer tends to be the guy that doesn't work it as much. And for a leadoff hitter, it's weird. But Springer has been a lot more selective and really cut down on the strikeouts compared to years past. I think overall this team struck out less than anyone in the major leagues this year.
Turned
they went from worst to first in one year.
In major league
and a lot of that
baseball.
Had to do with getting rid of guys like Carter and Colby Rasmus and guys like that.
Carlos
and
Gomez.
Changing their plate discipline as well. So I think that they're up there with a plan, and some of that might include swinging first pitch like Altuve or Correa. But it also means, I mean, Alex Bregman is really good at, he'll go up there and he'll take a pitch, he'll see a strike, then they'll throw a ball getting into Chase trying to get him down 0-2, but he'll work a full count quite a bit as well. These guys, when they get down 0-2, you don't have to worry about them most often. Watching Altuve strike out last night blew my mind,
because
it just doesn't happen.
And here's the thing, like I said, I said to you during the Red Sox series, do the Red Sox not have a video department? Do they not realize, hey, what's the trend
don't throw
here?
Him a fastball.
Every single time Altuve saw first pitch fastball and ripped it either out of the park or hit it hard somewhere. So, I mean, Altuve, you can't criticize what he does, period.
Yeah.
Because his at-bats are so good.
Yeah.
But I really think that Cameron Maybin should be starting for George Springer. He should be out of the lineup. He swings and hits his knee. He does a lot of things that I just can't stand as a leadoff hitter, and he's got to go.
I hate you.
Me? I'm not the one that said it. We get tweets like this, people.
I know.
We get tweets in which people are dead serious in some of the things that they say to us, and we have to respond like halfway biting our tongue from what we want to say to what we education with a good educational response is what we try and give them. He's one of your three or four best players. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, Josh Rapp said, if people are complaining about first pitch strikes, they know little about baseball. I'm glad you said it.
Way to stir it up, Josh.
Yeah, way to go.
That's the kind of thing I said. We try to be educationally sound and give them solid responses, politically correct. You, on the other hand, my friend, you just let it fly.
By the way, OU Mike and a few of the others, I'm not responding nor reading your texts about the topic of Me Too, so you can just save them because they're pretty terrible.
This is what I realized.
Uh-huh.
I drove Taylor to school this morning, mm-hmm. and I stopped to get coffee, and of course I listened to the only sports station in town, 97.5. And And I'm listening to John and Raheel, and I heard, first of all, John and Raheel made it very, very clear that they don't, and Dell, they don't check the text line.
No, they don't.
They don't.
Nor
they don't
does
want anything
John to, and Sean.
Well,
because when I come in,
insert
the text,
Sean for Raheel. So
sure.
Yeah, obviously it's the same trend.
And there's a lot of unread messages when I get in the morning.
So much to my chagrin, caller one was Iowa State Mike.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because I guess he just has to be heard. So when he knows that they're not going to take the text messages,
he calls.
The twangathon's on, because you want to talk about a guy that sounds incredibly smart when he calls in. Holy cow, when he gets going on a couple of his takes.
Did he curse? Did he get dumped? Because usually when OU Mike calls, he'll get dumped.
No, he didn't.
No?
No, he didn't. Okay. But he might could next time. But he had some things he was fixing to do, so he had to go.
They already announced Keuchel as game 5 starter. I haven't seen that, although ESPN shows that.
Who
if you look
that?
At the schedule, just a texter.
Okay.
That'll be interesting. We shall see. I don't know if I like it, but whatever.
It's
AJ
definitely going to be interesting. Now, the question is, are you going to make it a late night tonight? Nick, are you going to make it a late night tonight? Because, of course, it is the start of the NBA season. With my Packers really completely giving me nothing to watch anymore with the loss of Aaron Rodgers, I said I was so elated that the NBA season starts tonight. And oh, by the way, it's the Rockets and the Warriors. The Warriors get their rings. They get the banner ceremony. The Rockets are there to watch. And then they're the second game of the doubleheader, which the first game is very intriguing too. Boston and Cleveland. Kyrie Irving returning to the scene of the
LeBron
crime.
Playing?
Now, J.R. Smith says, regardless of what's being thrown out there, he is going to play. We'll see. But you would think in a game of that kind of magnitude from a PR standpoint, an attention standpoint, that's something that he's not going to miss.
We'll see.
But
we'll
I'm excited.
Although,
but
do you think there will be a better night of basketball than this opening night? I think we're going to have to wait for Christmas maybe to see, but they'll probably trot the Lakers out there, so that'll render that null and void. Because they're a garbage-ass team.
Christmas now, it used to be there was a doubleheader. And so you were really
like
jacked.
Games.
Now it's 9 games over 2 networks, and you're just like. But
I think you're looking at potentially the best 4 teams in each conference.
That's not a bad
playing
call.
On opening day.
Obviously, some people playing would throw each other. OKC somewhere in that mix, but overall.
But I'm saying you could be looking at the East and Western Conference Finals matchups on opening day.
Yeah. Are you guys going to stay
up
late?
That's not far-fetched.
Are you staying up late?
Yeah, I'll probably watch it.
When's the game start?
9:30 for the Rockets game.
Oh,
yeah, I'm watching that.
But you got Celtics-Cavs in between. So you figure the Astros are starting early. Astros should wrap up about the time that Celtics-Cavs gets going. And then you've got Rockets as your nightcap against the Warriors.
I mean, if you're a sports fan, you can't complain about the scheduling. I mean, especially if you're Houstonian, you got the Astros.
You don't miss
game.
Anything.
No. That's fantastic.
Yep. Set up perfectly.
You just listen to our show, and then you're set. Then again, stop listening. Exactly. Just put on the TV, and you're good for the rest of the night. And we set the table better than anybody. I mean, just sit down and eat. And when you take a little nap and eat some more, should be good.
Okay, I think
it's like Christmas, you know, when you eat and you eat and you eat, and then you're watching the NBA, and then you take a little nap, you wake up, it's still on, you watch some more.
Well, I know we got to go. Yeah. Look, do you want to do Fort Worth, Jade? We don't have time.
Why?
It's up to you guys if you want to stretch this.
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. He wants to talk Packers.
That's fine.
But I know I want to do our predictions before we get Mario on.
Mario, yes.
Mario.
Yes.
What'd I say?
I would like you said Mario. I would like you to
Damn.
I would like you to
I
sound
messed it
smart.
Up again.
Yes. That's one of the tricky ones.
Mario?
Someone asked on Twitter. Normally I would say when I see the word I say Mario. But when I know that it's a hot button of his,
Mario.
For as long as I've known him, he prefers Mario.
Mario. I always screw it up, and I thought I was like, I'm going to say it right this time for sure. I'm going to practice, and then right out of the shoot.
Because last time we had him on, you were getting killed on it.
Yeah.
He never said a word.
And I know, because he's a nice guy.
Yeah, people on Twitter or text all over it.
Mario.
So
like
we got
Mary-O.
He prefers Mario.
Okay, yes. I'm gonna nail this time. I'm not going to look like a stupid ass.
Yeah.
I mean, I am, but not because of that.
Absolutely.
Just going to be everything else.
I appreciate you, absolutely, bad.
That's all he's going to say anyway. He's not even going to mention it.
No, absolutely, Joe B. With this guy across the table, he keeps calling me Mario. You watch, that'll happen. All right, so we've got Mario coming up at 2:30 to talk NBA hoops. We've got our NBA predictions before that as we get ready to start the season in Fort Worth, Jay. I don't want to.
We're going
to
do
I
it.
Have to.
Out the shoot.
You're coming up next. Don't go anywhere. More of the usual suspects coming right up. ESPN 97.5. Throw your hands up if you got the
feeling. Jump up, touch the ceiling. Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back as we're knee-deep in hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza we like to call The Usual Suspects, as we like to do Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, as we continue to roll on. Yesterday would have been the day for this call, but we're going to make sure that we get it in because he is a loyal suspect. Fort Worth Jay, what's up?
What's up, fellas? First of all, Joel, I'm not going to talk bad about the collarbone because we suffered that aroma. I was going to call you the week before the game because the week of the game, remember we were talking about rivals. Yes. And I had an epiphany. Like, bro, Joel, me and you got beef, cuz.
Why?
Uh-oh. Because, man, the only team we ain't been able to get past the playoffs the last 3 years is Green Bay.
Oh, I let y'all do all the talking in the world at Jerry World about it, too. And then I reminded them not so subtly about we are the team that is only on the planet to eliminate
you from the
playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. I live that. You don't have to.
Oh, I did too. I enjoyed it.
But listen, though.
I am. I'm
going to tell you this. I'm rooting for y'all for the rest of the season because y'all's backup quarterback is actually one of me and Colin Kaepernick's fraternity brothers.
You mean?
So I'm rooting for y'all.
Hundley?
On here. Huh?
Hundley?
Yeah, number 7. He plays Cap Alpha Psi. I don't know what school. But he did.
UCLA. What? Went to UCLA.
Okay, cool. But do you remember the post-game interview in Dallas where Aaron Rodgers, when he was like, you're real comfortable here, and he was like, yeah, they should have the Super Bowl here every year?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to be petty towards you real quick. Knock, knock.
Uh-oh. Go ahead, Barry. Who's there?
Smell mop.
No idea. Smell what?
Mop, like a mop.
Oh, smell mop. Smell mop who? Got it.
Disgusting.
Can you please play the dad joke line there? Because that was the worst dad joke
ever. That was
ever.
A dad joke, Fort Worth.
And I saw it coming a mile away.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. But I had to
I
go
totally
along
didn't
with
see
it.
That coming.
Exactly what he was going with. But I got to do it.
Joel's lying. He didn't see it because he goes, smell mop poo. Oh, God. Oh, come on. He got you. Just admit it.
We did tell everybody in Dallas, too,
that's so funny.
They were renaming the stadium the following week to Lambeau Field South.
Oh, that's funny.
Because we won a Super Bowl there.
He hit you with the smell mop poo.
Yeah. The backup. He's a fraternity brother of ours. Yeah. I don't know what school he went to, but you know what I'm talking about. Number seven.
All right. Let's do our predictions because we're going to run out of time here. Do we have time?
Yeah, we can do it.
Let's do it.
Am I supposed to play some sort of
I don't know. Bit? Do we have any? Basketball is my favorite sport.
That's correct. No. If you play Curtis Blore, you can play the da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay, let's start. You want to start with the teams or the awards? Let's start with the awards. It's at the top
of
the list.
Well, then why ask me in the first place?
Who's your MVP?
MVP this year, regular season.
Yes.
Kawhi Leonard.
Okay. And I'm guessing you have the Spurs pretty high then because of that?
I don't have them pretty high. Here's my thought. And the thing that's interesting to me when you see national prognosticators not even putting James Harden in the mix this year for MVP,
okay.
Kyrie I don't think has any help anymore. The reason why Harden was so good last year was that the ball was in his hands and they were dependent upon him so much. I think that's what the Spurs are going to face with Kawhi. I think James has Chris Paul. We know the super teams are out there and with all the super players on those super teams. I don't think Adetokounmpo has improved his jump shot enough yet to be considered in that upper echelon, but I think Kawhi's going to get a ton of stats.
I don't even have Kawhi in my top five.
Okay.
I have James winning the MVP, but I have...
Means I got a good shot then.
I have Antetokounmpo, I have Durant, Wall, and Harden. That's my top five.
Okay.
I want to put Kawhi in there. I don't believe in the Spurs this year. I think they're going to have a down year.
That's why I put him there, because of the fact that I don't believe in
the Spurs. He's the Westbrook of the year.
Yeah, he's just got to carry him.
Okay, Nick, who you got?
MVP. For MVP, LeBron James. I do like Kawhi as a pick, though. I think he does make a lot of sense there. I will say, though, if Popovich is able to spring up some player that nobody's ever heard of and he just produces.
Right, like this he always year, does, it seems.
Then that might hurt Kawhi's chances.
Are you saying that Ananda DiColo type is on the horizon?
Something like that. You never know. With Popovich, you never know.
All right, rookie of the year. We'll let you go first because you have the ridiculous pick for this, Nick.
Lonzo Ball.
Stupid.
Watch him. Watch him come out of nowhere and get rookie of the year.
Who you got?
Ben Simmons.
Me too. I think that's a no-brainer. But I see your point. But is a guy that's just going to get a lot of assists going to win rookie of the year? I think you got to put up points. I think Lonzo will get a lot of assists on that team. Yeah. But I don't think he's going to put up the points required to win rookie of the year.
I am depending on the fact that he's in the L.A. market.
Yeah, well, that'll help. That's
a good factor. But at the same time, too, the other thing is, look, I think but Barry and I both know the technicality that because Ben Simmons hasn't played yet, it's kind of like Embiid was a two-year guy to be in it. Yep. I think that's why, and he still practiced with the team a lot. He knows the NBA routine. And so I think for that reason, he'll shine. If I had to pick a sleeper, I think Tatum of the Celtics from Duke is a guy that could just go off.
Okay. I know everybody's really high on that kid out of Dallas. Was it Smith?
Yep.
So we'll see about that. All right, Coach of the Year, I have Scott Brooks. I think the Wizards are going to be second in the East overall. So really I have Scott Brooks.
I have Billy Donovan simply because of the fact that he's going to have to mesh so many personalities that if OKC is what everybody is expecting or hoping them to be in a lot of circles nationally, that Billy Donovan's going to have to coach his ass off. So I'm going to say Billy Donovan.
I think that's a good call as well. Who you got?
I'm going with Brad Stevens of the Celtics. He was kind of an honorable mention last year. I think it can translate well this year, despite the changes that's happened in Boston, obviously. But look, you got Kyrie as an addition. I think he's a good pick.
Yeah, you definitely upgraded at that position over Isaiah Thomas. And he played well. I mean, he played out of his mind, but I still think Kyrie's an upgrade.
Kyrie, when you take the reins off and let him just not have LeBron over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Best handles in the league by far.
All right, let's do real quick. Let's run through your picks in the East 1-8. So, Joel, you go first.
Cavs, Celtics, Raptors, Wizards, Bucks, Heat, Hornets, Sixers.
We're pretty close because I'm kind of similar. So I've got Cavs and then the Wizards second, Celtics, Raptors, Bucks, Hornets, Heat, Sixers. But we both agree the Sixers make the playoffs with the 8 seed.
I think we have the same 8 teams.
We like flipped the Heat and Hornets. Mm-hmm. We both have the Bucks 5th. I'm pretty high on the Wizards. You're more so on the Raptors and Celtics. And then, Nick, who you got?
I got Cavs, Celtics, Raptors, Wizards. So the first four are the same. Yep. I put Hawks, Chicago, Bucks, Miami.
So your second four is the Miracle Network. You're going to need a miracle for
So you got the
four.
Hawks and the Which, Bulls.
Miami and who is the other two?
No, Atlanta and Chicago are like snowball's chance in hell.
Yeah. Well, the Bucks, I was impressed. I looked up the standings last year. Didn't realize the Bucks finished, sixth.
Five,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, the Bucks finished sixth.
I don't know
last year.
That the Bulls have anything left.
Yeah.
That's what worries me about. You have them sixth. That would be the only one.
But we all agree we knocked out the Pacers out of the top eight with the exit of Paul George.
Yeah. Yep. Pacers drop. I don't have the Hawks.
Hawks, you know, they lose Dwight Howard. They've been breaking up that team piece, but they lose Millsap. So I think that there's a team that's on the decline as well. The Bulls, I guess they were joking at Media Day. Like, no one knows anybody on their team. Their commercials and everybody are, can you name the Bulls?
Yeah, it's just question marks.
Yeah.
All right, in the West, Nick, you go first since you went last. Who you got in the West?
Warriors, Spurs, Thunder, Rockets, Ooh. Grizzlies, Jazz, Clippers, and then Wolves.
Okay, so you got the Spurs still finishing second in the West, huh?
Yeah.
All right. And then the Thunder, and then the Rockets fourth.
Yes.
All right, Joel?
I got Golden State, OKC, Houston, and San Antonio in the top four. I have Denver at 5. I have the T-Wolves at 6, the Clippers at 7, and the Grizzlies at 8.
Okay. So we're pretty close again because I've got the Warriors, then the Thunder, then the Rockets, then the Spurs.
Those are all identical.
Yeah, we agree on those. Nick has just flipped the Spurs.
The Wolves.
So you've got this top four the same. You just have them a little bit different. You believe more in the Spurs and Popovich, and I can't knock you for that.
They did make a big change in roster in Minnesota, obviously.
Yeah.
But from where they were last year, even though that roster changed, that's a big bump from where they were because I don't think they were even in the top eight last season. And then now
To me, they're the Jazz of a year or two ago.
Yeah, they're potentially a top five team. So it'll be interesting to see if they can make that jump.
I've got the Wolves at five, and then the Nuggets at six, the Clippers seven, and the Jazz eight. And I'm telling you, I'm not sold on the Clippers. I could see the Clippers not making the playoffs.
People sleep on some of the under-the-radar pickups that they made. Like, Gallinari is going to help them immensely.
Love Gallinari. Yeah, but, he was one of my favorite players last year.
Blake Griffin can stay healthy. Their front line
is fine. But see, that's the big if he's not, then what?
Griffin, Jordan, and Gallinari make a pretty really staunch front court. And Pat Bev's going to give you a defense, if nothing else, at the point guard position.
But losing Paul, I think, is
the
just...
The foreign kid they got playing the two guard is a sleeper. Watch that kid. He can really play. And then, you know, some of the pieces the Rockets gave him alone. Lou Williams coming off the bench, so you got a sixth man of the year candidate coming off the bench right away. Decker, Decker looks like he's ready to take a jump. They've got some depth, too. I'm telling you the team that I'm going to tell you, because you said Minnesota, we were talking about the Clippers. I'm going to tell you the team to watch, the Denver Nuggets, because they got Paul Millsap. When he left Atlanta, people forget, he went to Denver.
I've got them sixth.
Yeah,
so
I think the Nuggets are a team that could really do some damage.
I've got them sixth ahead of the Clippers and the Jazz. I think the Jazz take a step back because of losing Gordon Hayward.
Joe Johnson's too old to carry the load.
Yeah, so we all agree on our finals matchup. It's Warriors-Cavs, and we all have the Warriors winning. Finals MVP, you have Steph Curry, Nick, as your finals MVP, and Joel and I have Durant. So I'm telling you, fellas,
I chewed on this one forever. I think this is the deepest Cavaliers team they've had for LeBron James. I think as long as Thomas comes back, Jay Crowder is the sleeper edition of all sleepers. That they're as deep and as talented a team, if they're healthy, to face the Warriors. I fought to the last minute. I was going to put Cleveland on there.
Wow.
Because I really believe they're going all out
best
for LeBron.
Best player on the planet is on the team. That's a start.
I think the Cavs really could beat the Warriors this year, but we'll see.
Cool.
Should be fun, because coming up next, we've got ex-Rocket great Mario Elie, the, I believe, three-time NBA world champion. He'll correct me if I'm wrong. But Mario's going to join us for at least a segment. We're going to talk basketball. We're going to talk everything NBA as the season kicks off tonight. So we should have a good segment or two coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you got the usual suspects and a person of interest that's always welcome in the house. He is joining us via the HR&P listener line in this case, because he's got kids and sports to attend to as well. But we appreciate him on the eve of the kickoff of the NBA season upon us. Mario Elie joins us right now. Mario, what's up, my brother? Hope all is well in your world.
Everything is way back, man. How you doing, brother?
All good, man. Barry and Nick here, too. Congratulations. Your Giants got a win. Finally, so at least you're on the map. So
yes, sir. And my Yankees are doing quite good. Sorry,
you might want to say that again. You're who? 'Cause I just want everybody to regurgitate that and digest that and like a dry sponge on water, because that could come back at you now.
No, I'm a New Yorker.
I know your accent doesn't give it away, but I got you on this one. All right, brother, we got lots to get to with you, because you are obviously, as we said, an expert, and we rely on you for this kind of stuff. But first, your take on the whole Mikhail Harden thing, because we had Mikhail on yesterday. You know how it goes when someone's looking to try and stir things up. They might not even give the whole context of the quote, and they might walk up to you and say, Mario, what do you think of so-and-so, your old coach, who said you're not a leader? But you know, in talking to Mikhail, even on our show, he's never bashed James. He's always said he's a hell of a player, but he made the reference by saying Chris Paul's going to make James Harden better because he is a leader.
Well, I think James, there's different ways to lead. Obviously, at the point guard position, and since he was at Wake Forest, everybody knew Chris Paul was a leader. He's an outstanding point guard. He knows how to control the flow of the game. He holds guys accountable. But last 3 years, I mean, James been up for MVP for two of the last 3 years. This young man has grown. I'm thinking he's growing. You know, the league is young. These guys got to mature a little bit. And I'm thinking James is at that point. I mean, you know, it takes young guys a while to mature. And I think with the addition of Chris Paul, it will help him lead. You don't have to always lead. I played with Jason Kidd and coach them. He don't never say a word, but his effort on the defense end, making the right play, he would lead by that way. So I'm thinking James with, you know, averaging leading the league in assists last year, top in scoring. I'm thinking that's a pretty good leader.
I think you make a great point. You can lead by example, or you can lead like you did by, you know, by doing both. You did your job, but you were a vocal leader. You can be a vocal leader, and you can, and or you can lead by example. There's different ways to lead.
Absolutely. And, you know, James organizing workouts with the guys in the summer. I mean, that's a guy who wants to win. You know, a couple of years ago, we weren't really saying that about him, but he's grown, man. Very proud of him. I'm expecting a big year, you know, and I like the additions of Tucker and Luke Mambute, guys who are selfless guys who go and defend the best players, go keep possessions alive, who's going to dive on the floor, or guys who are going to allow Chris Paul and James to do their thing out there.
So talk a little bit about the lack of parity in the league. I mean, it's becoming almost a no-brainer that you're going to see Cleveland and Golden State in the finals. Is it one of those things we should just fast forward? I mean, was Barkley right in saying it's hard to get excited because you kind of know the outcome already?
No, I'm sort of excited because there's a lot of new faces and new places. And I'm a guy who believes in the dark horse. I think Rockets are one of my dark horses in the West. And in the East, Boston's going to have a hell of a team. I understand Isaiah will eventually be back. But that's in January when the season is sort of going on, when guys are in the groove. It's going to take him a while to really get back in NBA top condition. So those are two teams to me. I know everybody wants to see Cleveland, and I'm tired of that. I want to see other guys. I want to see Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins combination. I want to see Adekumpo. There's a lot of great stars, John Wall. There's a lot of great young talent out there, and that's why I'm not a fan of the super team. You know, I like competitive balance. You know, that's what professional sports is about, is being competitive on a nightly basis.
Mario, talk a little bit about what's going to have to happen in Oklahoma City. I get so many people that come to me and go, is there enough ball to go around in Houston? I go, ball to go around in Houston? Is there enough ball to go around in Oklahoma City when you have three of the top four individual isolation scorers in the fourth quarter a year ago, and now you're asking them to play on the same team? That's going to take some work, and if OKC is going to do anything, Billy Donovan's got one hell of a job in front of him, as you know, as a coach in this league.
Yeah, I mean, you got three guys who are just top-level players, and I think the guy who's going to have to make the biggest adjustment is Russell Westbrook, and I think he can. You know, right now you got all the accolades, you got the All-Star, your MVP. What do you have left is to win a championship, so it's going to be up to him to integrate the other two guys. To me, it's Westbrook, Paul, and Carmelo. Man, having Carmelo as a third option, that's pretty darn good. This guy's a 20-point-a-game scorer. He's a knockdown shooter. He may not be the same Melo, but I think he can give you 18, 20 a night with those two guys on the side.
But as a quick follow-up, Mario, that could be the biggest problem. You got a guy that's never played second fiddle in his career, from Syracuse to the Nuggets to the Knicks, and now he's not only not the main option, he's the third option.
Well, he's in the latter stages of his career. He has to realize now it's about winning. It's not about me, you know, averaging 25. And I think Melo's at the stage of his career. He wants to be in a winning situation. So he's in a great situation right now. This man hasn't been in the playoffs in a couple of years, so he's going to be involved in a great playoff race in a tough Western Conference. It's going to be a really, really exciting year in the Western Conference. That's a lot of great teams.
I know you're a student of both leagues, both conferences. Who's your sleeper in each, the East and the West?
The two teams I really like in the East are Boston and Washington. Big fan of John Wall. Very underrated player. The pace he plays with, the change of speed. He plays with a young Bradley Beal, and I'm very proud of my man Scott Brooks. And I think Kyrie Irving's going to have a huge year. To me, he's going to be my sleeper MVP this year because he has a point to prove. He's an outstanding talent. This guy can finish with both hands, can shoot, and he wants to lead a team. And it's going to start tonight. So those teams I really like out East are very exciting young ball clubs.
Team that intrigues me, Mario, and I want your take on them because everybody, it's the sexy pick in the West, but I think they're still at least a year away. Where are you on the Minnesota Timberwolves?
I agree with you, Joe. That's going to take a minute, but I'm thinking Anthony Towns is ready to take that next step, and I'm hoping Jimmy Butler can add some leadership to that locker room, a good veteran presence, a guy who works his butt off. And if you ever hear the story about Jimmy Butler, 13, getting kicked out of home, and now he's a damn three-time All-Star, a two-way player. Very proud of that young man from Tomball, Texas. So his leadership is going to be big. The addition of Jeff Teague, the maturation of Gordy Jang, who don't get enough credit. That guy's a hell of a talent right there at the four position, can shoot, can defend. And you got a great coach in Tom Thibodeau. So I'm excited to see the Timberwolves this year. I think they go to jail quickly, and they're going to be a problem in the West.
We all know that the Warriors are the class of the West, the class of the NBA right now. Who is going to have the right to lose to them in the Western Conference Finals? The Thunder, Spurs, Rockets? Who you got?
Man, I would like to see the Rockets there. They got the offense. I like the two guys they added. I ain't mentioned Gordon or Anderson. Capella not getting signed, so he's going to be motivated this year. I just like the momentum of the Rockets right now. James seemed to be happy that he got a guy with him, Chris Paul, that can take a little pressure off his shoulders. And like Joe mentioned earlier in the show, when he see James dragging, Chris Paul got the credibility to say, hey, man, it's time to step it up. So I'm excited to see that combination. So I like to see the Rockets there. And like you guys mentioned, it's going to be interesting how that OKC thing works out. So I'm not sure.
I know you got stuff to do. We're running short on a break. You want to join us for one more segment, or if you
absolutely, Pac-Man, let's go through one more, baby.
All right, brother. Mario is going to hang tight with us. We're going to get to him in just a second. Back with a whole lot more with Mario Ellie in just mere minutes. But right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. CEO Josh Pesikoff and his people do an outstanding job of getting you your energy at a great rate and locked into the contract that makes sense for you, and it always is tailor made to when you use energy the most, that you get the best rate, and of course, when you don't need energy the most, that they take it easy on you. It starts with 100% customer service and honesty. You call, you don't get an automated system. You get a human being on the phone, and they start listening to your needs, whether it be business or home, and for your family or for your job. They're going to listen to everything that you say, and then they're going to start running by programs and plans that make sense for you at the rates that are the best. Sometimes they're going to beat everybody else's rate. Sometimes they're not. They're even going to be honest about that because they want to be your energy provider. Check them out and see what you think. InfuseEnergy.com or 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit. And again, they even use 100% green energy. It's at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, and that decreases your carbon footprint. They have your back. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that always has your back. Check them out. Infuse Energy into your life. Gotta spend it for the murderers and the killers
and the thugs, too. The station that brought you Dream Crushers, the pepper spray incident, and male golfer, female golfer food. We celebrate 10 years.
Got in my mouth.
Thank you, Houston.
Thank you.
ESPN 97.5 is 10. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Our person of interest is always welcome inside these four walls, and that is my man Mario Ellie. Mario already joining us for one segment, now joining us for segment number two. Rio, one thing that we didn't really get into, but you kind of touched on it, and I'm interested. I've seen this too, and I've been waiting for this, and I think it's worth expounding on a little bit, but James Harden has had a lot of success. He's put up a lot of numbers. He's got a lot of accolades. But the one thing that I think, even from this McHale situation, that we're all waiting for is for him to turn the corner on the maturity level and to really just kind of realize, look, there's a time and a place for everything. You know, Kevin McHale's a Hall of Famer, but don't call him a clown. Just say, hey, you know what? That's behind me. We're done with this. It's time to move forward. I think this is a big year in terms of the maturation process of James Harden, simply because he doesn't have anything else to prove except for winning a championship on the court. But if he can handle this Chris Paul situation the right way, and when Chris Paul barks at him the first time, he doesn't go in the tank. He sucks it up and realizes, hey, if we're going to be champions, this is the kind of thing that I'm going to have to work with and deal with because this makes me better. Where are you on the James Harden maturation barometer?
getting better, and I agree with you, Joey. He handled that wrong. That guy's a great player. I mean, he's a top 50 of all time. And then they may have their little quirks, but just, and like you mentioned, just say, hey, that was his opinion. I'm going to move on. And you're right. I think James will be fine with Chris Paul because Chris Paul got the credentials. And he's a guy he's going to respect. James been the guy here so long. He is still the guy for sure. But now he has a guy on his side that's going to go in the foxhole with him. Chris Paul is tough as you get. He's just a nasty little son of a gun. Reaches, he's a fierce competitor. And that's really going to help James really accelerate his maturity. He said, man, this guy really wants to win. And Chris Paul is a guy, too. He done accomplished everything. I mean, all Chris Paul wants to do is win a championship. And I think James is buying into that. And it's going to be great to see just this backcourt with all these great backcourts. You got Curry and Thompson. You got McCullough and Lillard. I mean, you got some tremendous backcourt, and you got to add these two guys now. So it's going to be interesting what's going to be considered. And John Wall and Bill, it's going to be interesting who's going to be considered the best backcourt. You got a lot of good guards out there.
Mario, I look at this team, and I can't help but think P.J. Tucker to me is kind of like the Marwin Gonzalez of the Astros. He's probably going to be the unsung hero of this team and the glue. What say you? Who's the guy that maybe isn't on everybody's radar because it's all about Paul and James Harden, but who's the guy on this team that might be that unsung hero for the Rockets?
That's a good name, and Trevor doesn't get enough credit for me, man. That guy just is out there every night for the Rockets. He knows his role. He's always ready to knock down shots. He guards the toughest guy every night. I'm looking for him to step up a little bit. I know P.J. Tucker is going to be in practice pushing him. It's going to be exciting. I would love to be there watching that training camp and these guys go out in and practice. But P.J. Tucker, I think, is going to push Ariza to step it up a little bit because P.J. Tucker is a competitor. He's intense out there. He wants to win, and he competes on every possession. So I like to see Trevor have a big year this year on both ends of the floor, making big plays, getting big stops, and having a good year for the Rockets.
Yeah, I think, again, Trevor Ariza may have lost a step, but I think in terms of he was your best on-ball defender a year ago besides Pat Beverly. Now you've got Trevor Ariza. You've got P.J. Tucker. You've got a guy that can watch and defend the rim in Clint Capella. You've added guys that instantaneously give you more credibility on the defensive end, which was you were sorely lacking a year ago. And I think that's the one thing that people forget. They're looking for big names. They're looking for that big three. They wanted Carmelo. But because they didn't get Carmelo, they got guys like Lukumba Mute, who's a great on-ball defender. They got kind of sleeper guys all across the roster now that not only bring a veteran presence to the locker room, but on the floor, if Jeff Bezdelic wants to put a stopper lineup on the floor, he can take Lukumba Mute and P.J. Tucker and Trevor Ariza and Clint Capella, even for just a stop on one end, and pretty much guarantee that he's going to have lockdown defense with four of your five guys.
Yeah, Rockets got a great point, Joe. I mean, Pac-Man, they got great flexibility. I like what they did with the roster. And you mentioned a big stop at the end, get a timeout. Let's get these pit bulls out there. And you're right, they can throw that lineup out there. And I just really like that flexibility. And then a lot of the offensive guys, you know, like Gordon and Anderson, Paul and James, to do their thing. They're going to need the points majority from those guys. You know, Tucker's capable of knocking some shots. So is Luke. But we're not really looking for him to do that. But the guy should be the happiest is Clint Capella, because you got two guys who are great decision makers off the dribble and can get to the hole. All you got to do is have his hands ready. So it's going to be exciting what Coach D'Antoni does with this roster. And as the season go along, like you mentioned, Joe, it may be an offense tonight. Let's go with our offensive crew. We're struggling offense. We may have to lock guys up. Let me throw the defensive crew out. So that's a good problem to have when you got a deep bench like that.
All right, Mario, we did our predictions earlier. Who do you have for Rookie of the Year? Who's your guy?
I got to go. Let me go with Tatum.
Okay.
Tatum from Boston. I say yeah, he's a sleeper. Tatum. Yep, no doubt about it. One other thing, too. Don't you think Clint Capella should have on a reel highlights of DeAndre Jordan and Tyson Chandler, because Clint Capela is a free agent at the end of the year. Chris Paul has made multi-millionaires out of DeAndre Jordan and Tyson Chandler and their limited offensive abilities just with alley-oops, give-and-goes, high pick-and-rolls. If he studies that film and does what he needs to do, he can get paid big time, whether it be by the Rockets or somebody else, because Chris Paul is that good, and he has made those two guys a lot of money.
Yeah, and you throw James into your equation, and James is a great decision maker on the pick and roll, and you got two guys. I mean, I'll be licking my chops on a nightly basis if I was him. He has to improve in his free throws. I like to really see him step up in the postseason. You know, he does a good job during the regular season. But when the intensity level is high in the second season, that's why I want to see him perform. That's when we go really, really need him. I think Rockets go win a lot of games. I mean, they got a very good team. But in this Western Conference postseason, it's going, every round this year is going to be tough. Ain't going to be like last year where Golden State don't lose to the third round. Every round this year with the competitiveness in the West.
Yes.
Man, every round's going to be fantastic, Joe. Every round's going to be tough.
Man, I could do this all day. We appreciate having you on, brother. I know you got things to do, so we're going to let you redeem yourself. We're going to ask you one more question, and it's going to be about MVP. And I know you're thinking about LeBron and Curry and James and all these people. No, I want to know, who's your American League MVP this year?
Jose Altuve. I got to give that dude credit. I love Judd. I'm a homer. But that dude, what he can do at his size and the last 3 years leading the league in batting, I got to give that man his respect, man. That dude is an outstanding talent. And that tells all you little kids out there, size don't matter. That man swings a big stick.
Unless so I have to go with Jose. Mario, size doesn't matter unless you're a porn star. But that's why I let you redeem yourself one last time, because I knew the people of Houston
buddy.
Loves
I
you.
I
got you. I love you, man. Thanks for joining us. We'll get you catch love up you with you too, real boy. Soon.
Thanks,
Mario
fellas.
Ellie's
appreciate
been our guest
y'all.
Right here on the HRP listener line, part of the Usual Suspects. We got two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's Nick, Barry, and myself, and we'll be back for the final hour in just mere minutes. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.